All right, all right. Is that what they say? Who is that guy, that actor? All right, all right. Yeah. Let's send the kids with joy and blessing so they can experience the joy of the Lord. And let's give a big hand to the volunteers and the teachers. What a great thing. What a great joy. We have so many children worshiping here with us today. We thank God for that. Today's a great day. It's Palm Sunday. Happy Palm Sunday, everybody. Yeah? It's a victorious Sunday. Yes. We thank God for that. Let us pray to receive the word of God. Father, we thank you for your presence already and for your ministry that you're doing already in our midst today. As we cry and sing Hosanna, I believe you have heard our prayers and our worship. We want to continue today and talk about how your coming has revolutionized our lives. We want to talk about the coronation today of you as King of Kings, Lord of Lords. Your triumphant entry into Jerusalem. Enter our heart. Let all darkness, let all the demons and powers of the world that try to control us be dispelled and driven away as you come into our heart today. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So, we are doing a mini-series, Revolution. And the first one is coronation, which is today. And the second one is conqueror, which is on Easter Sunday. But on Friday would be the journey of the cross. And these are tying in to the revolution that we want to talk about. So today is part one of revolution. I want to read a scripture for you. It is a great question. The great question that I want to ask today, who is this? That's the question that the people were asking. Can we say, who is this?
Who is this?
Yes. That's what they were asking. Who is this? Because when Jesus had come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved. It didn't say one part of it. It didn't say Santa Clara. It didn't say Sunnyvale. In that area. It didn't say Samaria or Judea. It didn't say Galilee or Bethlehem, you know. It says the whole city was moved. And they asked the question, who is this? What's happening here? Who is this guy? I want you to ask the same question. Who is this? Who is this guy, Jesus, that you sing about, that you pray to, that you give to, that you serve? Who is this guy to you? What is he anyway to you? So, amen. Amen. And this is powerful and meaningful. Because we ask for prayer in the prayer cards, and you have dropped it already in the offering plates. You still can write the prayer cards, and we'll pray for you as the Spirit of God speaks to you. Leave it on the seat. We will collect it on Monday and Tuesday, and we'll pray for you. Just leave it anywhere. Last week, as we were going through, one of the older gentlemen who helps pick up the stuff in the sanctuary quietly at the background, found something and he came to my table, and I want to read this for you. It's a prayer note. Why am I here? It's obvious no one likes me. I don't belong here. Everyone hates me in every way possible. My prayer is for things to get better. Nobody likes, needs, or wants me. I'm just a waste of space here. I shouldn't be here. This is real stuff. This is life. apart from the singing, the praying, the clapping, the praising, the giving, and the offering. If we forget the people that are here, we're missing the point. Christ did not come for the festival. Christ did not come for eating and drinking and dancing. Of course, he loves it. There's no doubt about that. But he came for you and I. This church is for broken people. If we can welcome and attract broken people into our midst, that's church to me. That is church to me. And we have here a bold young man or woman questioning why he or she is here. And what are we going to do about it? On a Palm Sunday like this, when Jesus came. And I want to talk to that person. If you're here this morning, you're exactly in the right place. And the coming of Jesus into Jerusalem is why he came for you. This prayer brought the Lord Jesus Christ. Because the word Hosanna means, Lord, save me now. And your prayer, my friend, when you say, my prayer for things to get better, this is why Jesus came for you. Nobody likes, needs, or wants me. I'm just a waste of space here. I shouldn't be here. That is exactly why Christ came. To let you know that he will die for you and you're special. So we're going to learn three eternal life lessons from today. And the first lesson that we want to talk about is, why ride a donkey? You know, because we look at Jerusalem and the celebration, and sometimes we forget the donkey. But I want to talk about the donkey today. And why Jesus chose to ride the donkey. And Jesus rode a donkey because he came as a Prince of Peace. And not a King of War. In those days, if you're going to make a peace agreement, if you're going to make a peace agreement and coming as a Prince of Peace or a King of Peace, you come in a donkey. You ride a donkey to go in to that place. And this is not, this was done by the Romans have, are used, the Romans know about these things. They also know about this. So Jesus choosing the donkey, it's very significant. He just didn't do it because the horse was not available. Okay? He could have said, go there and you'll find a stallion tied there and bring the stallion to me. No. A donkey, because he was a king with a difference. He wasn't coming as a Roman emperor or Caesar. He was coming in to set the difference of how the world will recognize him as a Prince of Peace. And he came riding a donkey. This is also fulfilling the prophets of Isaiah 61, Zechariah chapter 9. Behold, your king is coming to you lowly and sitting on a donkey, a colt, a foal of a donkey. Jesus did not get up that Sunday morning, that Palm Sunday morning, and say, "Hey, disciples, let's go and fulfill one prophecy." You know, he's not doing this to fulfill the prophecy. It's part of his life. And now he's fulfilling. If you go back to Isaiah, that's 600 years ago, that Isaiah had prophesied the coming of the Messiah. So it was a long time ago. Right? Now, coming to Zechariah is about 400 years ago. So 200 years later, another prophet prophesied the coming of the Messiah. And then there was silence for how many years? 400 years. Until John the Baptist came. And here, on this day, there is a guy, a dude, coming in riding a donkey. And you know what people are thinking? The prophecy. Some people who read the scriptures and know the scripture are suddenly seeing what they have heard and have waited. And right before their eyes, the word of the Lord is fulfilled. It's like we sang yesterday at the worship, word of God speak. Jesus riding on a donkey, coming down, going into Jerusalem, was the word of God speaking at that moment. Many of you had a gift of prophecy. Yesterday when we did the test and assessment, this is prophetic fulfillment right there and then. This is an awesome thing. An awesome thing. This is really an awesome thing. And you look at the donkey. It's one of the common animal. You know? When the donkey walks, it's very awkward. Have you seen the donkey walk, right? I mean, it doesn't gallop like the horse, you know? Right? The donkey is like this, you know? He walks like this. It's very funny. And when Christ is sitting, he's moving with the leg, you see? I mean, I don't know. They could have added some style, or I guess. So it's not pretty to look at. The king's funny there. It's a humble, lowly animal. But what can we learn from that? See, the world promotes authority. Okay? But God lifts up humility. He didn't come as a king of war. He came very humble himself. This is the difference. A king with a difference. Setting apart from other kings at that time. He was already setting apart by riding a donkey. He was already setting apart by his attitude of humility. There was no entourage, no red carpet. They didn't go up and there was no TV station, you know. Hey, Christ, what are you wearing today? Who's your designer? No? What are you nominated for today? Are you excited? He came in quietly. There was no welcome party arranged. The world promotes authority, my friends. But God lifts up the humble. God lifts up the humble. That's the word of God says. That's the word of God says. So the lessons from the donkey that has eternal life lessons is that humility is attractive to God. Humility is very attractive to God. And what is our goal? What is your goal in life? The ultimate goal in life. For me, I want to get from here to the presence of God. My ultimate goal is to spend eternally with the Lord God in heaven, a place that He has prepared for me. That's my ultimate destination. But I have to enter the kingdom of God as a lowly donkey with my head bowed. The donkey doesn't ride flaring his nose up in the air. Most of the time, his head is bowed. What we can learn from the donkey is, if you absolutely bow before the Lord in humility and obey Him and follow Him, you will get to heaven. Because Jesus entering into Jerusalem on this day is an enactment of what it would be like to go into the kingdom of God. Do you know that? This is a small glimpse of heaven, what will happen when Jesus was entering into Jerusalem. It wasn't just a Palm Sunday. This is a small piece of heaven on earth. On that day, the will of God in heaven and on earth was done. It was a small enactment. And Christ is saying, in order to enter the kingdom of God, I want you to look at the donkey. Have a humble heart like the donkey. Be ready, be available for the service of the Lord, and serve the Lord Jesus Almighty in humility, and see where it will get you. It will get you to the highest place. And there is no higher place than heaven and the throne room of God. Isn't that powerful? I mean, it's not just a story about singing Hosanna here. I'll add more to that. I tell you today, you're in for a treat. I'm telling you. You just stay with me today. You're in for a treat. Some of you have never heard this. You're in for a treat. The Spirit of God has prepared a feast for you today. Okay, stay with me here. So this is an uncommon king on a common donkey. Okay? But you and I are common too. You and I are very common. If we recognize that we are common, do you know what Christ will do? He will use you. The donkey was so common and lowly that people would not have put in the list of events and things to use for a coronation day. Okay? But Christ picked the donkey. If you serve humbly and walk humbly before the Lord, you just see how God will honor you and lift you up in front of everybody. On that day, thousands of people, multitudes were there. People from all over the world has come to Jerusalem to celebrate the Feast of Tabernacle, the Feast of Booth. And it was this donkey, apart from the Lord Jesus Christ, was also the center of attraction. It was the donkey. It wasn't the horse. It wasn't the best horse raised by the Roman soldiers, Roman emperors. Not the horse by the rich Jewish people. It was the donkey. So the first question is, why ride a donkey? If you have a humble heart, you can ride a donkey into the kingdom of God. The second thing is, why wave palm leaves? The children just did that for us, procession. Why wave palm leaves? Why should we wave palm? Why not roses or other flowers? Why palm leaves? Because the scripture says, other cut down branches from the trees and spread them on the road. In John, those branches were named as palm leaves. We don't read Megabus because that's in Apocrypha. But if you, the Megabus were the one that fought the Romans. He's a great leader. Okay. When he won the battle in the Jerusalem, what did he do? He took palm leaves to cleanse the temple. Okay, you staying with me? The palm leaves was used to cleanse the temple. And that's important for God to come to be in the holy place. Right? Now you go back. You go back to Leviticus. And there is an instruction for the Feast of Tabernacle. What they have to do. What was one of the instructions? To take down the palm leaves that were used to purify, cleanse, and celebrate in the temple. Now you go to Solomon in Kings. When the temple was about to be dedicated, presence of the Lord came. What did he use? He would use palm leaves for the dedication and the cleansing of the temple. See, it's not by mistake. So now, fast forward on this day into Jerusalem. And the people were taking their outer garment, putting on the donkey on the road. And then they cut down the palm leaves. This is not by chance. Because where is Jesus going? Come on, where is Jesus going? And what's happening at the temple? You will know, right? He is taking the palm leaves. The children are taking the palm leaves because they're going to cleanse the temple. And he is going to declare in that temple that this is the house of God. This is my Father's house. This is a house of prayer. You have made this a den of robbers. It's not by accident that they have the palm leaves, my friends. He was going in to cleanse the temple. This is very significant. I want to say this to you, see? Because the world kills for exclusion. And God died for inclusion. The priest, the temple elders there, they want to purge the temple from whom? From the Gentiles. They want to purge. You will see that when God gave instruction to build the temple, there is an outer court that God told, build that outer court, and that court is the Gentiles' court. The Gentiles are not chosen people, we know that. But God has a plan for them. In that outer court, the Gentiles will come and worship. What's happening at the Gentiles' court? That's where they were selling the doves and changing the money. What is the doves for? The doves are for the poor people. Those who cannot afford a lamb, you see? So, the place that was for the Gentiles, outsider, foreigners, strangers, and the place where the poor people will come, they have it turned into a marketplace. They have turned it into a marketplace. And God sees that. And he said, this is injustice. This is injustice, and it cannot continue in my temple. Because in my temple, there is a place for foreigners, for strangers, and for poor people. And you cannot purge them. You cannot prevent them from coming into my house, because my house is a house of prayer for all nations. And Christ came, and the children, multitude came, waving the palm leaves to cleanse the temple from injustice. That's the difference with Christ and the world leaders. Hitler tried to purge the country. There has been many, many rulers that have tried to purge the land to become their own. And when a leader stand up, when a pastor stand up and talk about purging something, excluding from someone, that's not what Christ did. The world kills for exclusion. Aryan race are superior. Millions of Jews were killed. Genocides, we have read genocides after genocides, even in Africa. They are calling the ISIS killing Christians genocide, but they want to purge their land from infidels. The world kills for exclusion. Christ died for inclusion. Jesus did not come to set up political power. Jesus did not come for economic power. Jesus did not come to set up military power. He came as a Prince of Peace. He came as a King of Peace. He was not interested in this power struggle that was going on there. He set the standard so high. He came for the one who said, I'm a waste of space. I don't need to be here. Do you think the worldly king would care about that person? No. But Christ came for that. That's Palm Sunday. That's why it's Victoria Sunday. That's why we celebrate joy. Because he came for the poor, he came for the those who are weak, he came for those who are crying and say, save me now, save me now, 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 not tomorrow, now, I need you now, save me now. He came for those cry. And many of you have cried to the Lord this week. Many of you have cried to the Lord this month. You've been crying since last year. He hears you. He may not come like you expect. He'll come quietly, quietly into your life. Reassure you, touch you in a small way, speak to you in a still small voice, and say, I'm here. And you'll say, who is this? And he will tell you, I'm Jesus of Nazareth. I'm Jesus of Nazareth. Today is a great day. It's a celebration of victory and joy. Today is a great day. A palm branches symbolizes the victory of the Jew against the accusers. Leviticus Rabbah. And the most glorious thing for me today, when the scrolls were open in Revelation, when you see the people from all nations, tongues, tribes, and you see the songs that they worship when you start reading from Revelation 4. And they were singing, salvation belongs to the Lord. You know that song in Sunday school we sing? Salvation belongs to our God. That's straight from heaven. You learn that song because you'll be singing there. Okay? Who sits on the throne. And then you come to Revelation chapter 7 verse 9. And in Revelation chapter 7, verse 9, people from all tongues, tribes, and nations were clothed in white. And then here's a significant one. And they held in their hand what? Palm branches. Do you see that? I told you that Jesus coming into Jerusalem was an enactment of what heaven is going to be like. Partially, not in full. But on that day when the kingdom of God come, we will have palm branches on our hand and worshiping him. And the little children led the way today, bringing in heaven on earth when they had palm branches on their hand, singing Hosanna. Christ in me is to live, to die is to gain. That is Palm Sunday, heaven on earth. I'm excited. I don't know about you. My heart's bubbling. I'm not shouting because you think I'm crazy. I want to jump and shout. But I have to control for the visitors. So you guys can come back next Sunday, all right? Then I'll do it. I'll jump from here to the end, okay? So let's come to the children. So why were the children crying? Okay? Why were the children crying? And in the scripture, and the children were crying out in the temple saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Hosanna to the Son of David. Okay? And they were indignant. Oh, there's so much lessons here today. But let me be brief. So we're going back to what were they doing? The children were singing Psalm 118. Psalm 118, 25 to 26. Okay? So in Psalm 118, 25 to 26, it says here, save now, I pray, O Lord. Oh Lord, I pray, send me now prosperity. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. This is Psalm 185. Okay. Now, we talk about Zechariah 400 years before, Isaiah around 600, 700 years before. This song written by David was where? About 1,000 years before the birth of Christ. Okay? The children are singing this song that was written and sang 1,000 years ago because this is a prophetic song. And the song that they were singing in their Sunday school was being fulfilled right before the eyes of the children and the parents. We know this song. Yeah, we know this song, and he has come. And the children were excited. They're waving palm branches. People are taking out the outer garments. You know? They were excited. Well, not the priest. Not the scribes. They were indignant. Do you know, sometimes it's the religious people that are not happy about God and Christ. It's the religious people that are not excited about God. The world is indignant of children. When somebody cries at the back, what do? We all turn back. Even if we don't say. Yeah, we did that. You did that. We're indignant of children for crying out. But God was inspired. He says, Jesus said to them, yes, you have never read? Out of the mouths of babes and nursing infants, you have perfected praise. The children shouting Hosanna that day inspired the heart of God. As it should. So I want to let you know today, become like children to enter the kingdom of heaven. Become like children to enter the kingdom of heaven, because the ride from Bethphage and Bethany to Jerusalem was an enactment of small heaven on earth. And Christ taught three eternal lessons from three characters: the donkey, the palm leaf, and the children. You remember this? Humility, you know, cleansing, holiness, accepting the Lord Jesus Christ that your body is the temple of God, and praise God with innocence and purity like children, you'll get to heaven. That's the story of Palm Sunday. I should have said that from the beginning. But thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Let's give glory to God for what he has done for us. Hallelujah. And Hosanna. Hosanna to the King of Kings. Somebody say Hosanna, yes? Hosanna, yes. And ready to stand and praise and worship God. Can we be on our feet as we can praise and worship God? Now, if you need prayer today and you want to come to Christ like a child, you want to be prayed for anything, we will be at the well. Pastor Dan Griffith, Jonathan is an ordained minister. We are here to pray for you for anything. We call it the well. The well is a place of no judgment, no guilt, and no embarrassment or shame. You come to God as you are.